In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word was God. All things were made through Him. In the beginning was the Word.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Naked Theology. This week we'll conclude our first discussion with Derek, wrapping up with the topic of demonic possession and spiritual warfare. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please leave us some comments and let us know what you think.
My first question, I guess, would be, do you think demonic possessions still happen today?
I'd probably say, yeah, I think that there's still, demonic possession. I was listening to a Catholic priest once, and he deals explicitly with demonic possession, and he says one out of every 5,000 phone calls he gets is legitimate, legitimately demonic possession. So I think it happens. I think it's a lot more rare than what we make it. Our culture has kind of amplified it to some levels that are unrealistic. It happens, but I think we tend to jump to conclusions of demonic possession as Christians too quickly.
I would agree with that. I like to look at certain cases in the Bible, even when it's pointed out that it's a demonic possession, and you could almost look at the symptoms at that time and maybe realize that it was it could have even been a psychological issue that they didn't understand at that time. I'm having a hard time pinpointing an example, but would you agree with that there were even in biblical times there were times when a simple psychological issue or medical issue was misunderstood as a demonic attack?
I think both cases can be made. I think on one side there are those who say, look, physical ailments and spiritual ailments are clearly distinguished in Jesus' stories. And the other side would say, yeah, they probably did. They didn't know what epilepsy was. Mm-hmm. But they know that this boy would have spasms and fall into the fire and be uncontrollable. And it was ruining their lives. Now, I think the reason there's hesitation on that is that you don't want to, by transitive property, to somehow communicate that psychological ailments are somehow demonic, which right. I think is a very dangerous thing to do. Now, as far as whether possessions happen, I believe absolutely they happen in this world. And I think what you see is in third world countries or in countries with different religious backgrounds, you see it more frequently. And this makes sense to me. We know from Jesus' visit to his hometown that our expectations shape reality. Thus, there's no way Jesus' hometown people could believe that he was the Messiah, and because of that expectation, that lack of faith, he could do no miracles. In the same way, in our rationalistic society, we're not going to expect or believe it, and so there's really no point in doing it. In fact, if I were Satan in this society, my best, most important job would be to convince people I don't exist. Mm-hmm. Because logically, then, God doesn't exist. Now, there's the other issue about whether a Christian can be possessed. I think that's what we're kind of getting to, right? Whether a Christian can be possessed
sure.
by...
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Now, we're talking about possession, not oppression, so not demonic, you know, attacks, if that's... But truly, demon...
Well, I... Personally, I think... And it's been recently that I've come to this conclusion that most of my life I've probably given more credit to Satan than he probably deserves. Meaning, I've always seen him as almost like the equal and opposite of God. But that's just not the case, I don't think, anymore. I think that God is infinitely more powerful than Satan. And if God is in our lives, I don't believe that there's... God would almost have to turn his back on us in order for the devil to be able to have any power over us. And I think also to that effect, the devil only has as much power as we allow him as Christians. I think if you really have Christ in the center of your life, I don't believe that Satan has any room to attack you there. So it is, that's my feelings on it.
Yeah, that's probably how I feel about it. Like, I remember in high school, I was mentored by my principal, who is widely known around Memphis as being an exorcist. And since he found out I was going to be a preacher and going to school for it, he thought he'd help me out. And so he went. I went with him on what he called exorcist runs. It's like running errands, but for radicalized demon possession, apparently. And you know, a lot of times, we would go, and I would be freaked out. And looking back, I don't believe any of it was real. It was just people who were wanting his attention or attention in general. But he would always reaffirm the one true statement. I think he said was, when God's with you, that you don't have to worry about this. When God is with you, you don't have to worry about this. And so if there's one thing I take away from this crazy pastor, is that when God is with us, we don't have to worry about it. That's probably where I come down on.
Mm-hmm. Lily, comment?
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of experience in this topic. Not that I've ever been possessed by any means, but kind of going back to the mental illness and demons, I actually have family members who believe that to have, you know, bipolar means that you have some sort of spirit inside of you. And so it's interesting listening to you guys talk about it, because I completely agree. I don't think that by any means is mental illness a demon. And also talking about, like, can a Christian have demons inside of them? I don't believe that anywhere God is evil can reign. Like you said, he's a lot more powerful than what we believe he is and what we could ever comprehend that he is. But yeah, and I kind of go back to the scripture, you know, writing his word on our heart. I think wherever he is, he's the most powerful, you know, and so no matter what's coming against us from the outside, they can't go within us because he's already within us. Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying.
And I think the problem is any sort of talk like that, people misinterpret it as, oh, you have narrow theology, or you don't believe in spiritual warfare, and thus you're kind of writing off Pentecostal charismatic elements, and you're kind of seen as spiritually narrow-minded. But you have to understand, look at the Catholic Church, who has a position of exorcist, an official position. A majority of the exorcist job, first off, is trying to prove that it's not a demon. Because in their experience, it's not. It's not. In the rare cases it is, then they can go forward. But majority of the time, there are tons of other factors at play there. And they want to make sure that they're getting the person the help they need, mentally, physically, so on, rather than do it. The other thing is, even Jesus, what Jesus had to say in Matthew 12, he is doing miracles, and the Pharisees say this, well, it's only by the power of Satan that he's doing miracles. Jesus gets furious at this and says, look, a kingdom cannot be divided. A household can't be divided and stand. I cannot be both God and or good and evil, as you say. So he says it this in verse 29. This is Matthew 12. How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder the house. What Jesus is saying there is, well, how can someone be possessed or be influenced, you know, empowered by the devil, unless they would tie up the quote-unquote strong man, which for a Christian would be the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. the presence of Christ. And in my mind, there is no theological way for me to find it acceptable that God could be overpowered by any sort of demon or the devil, even. Mm-hmm. Thus, it is theologically, and even I would say logically impossible, in the scenario I submit there, for a Christian to be demon-possessed. Now, can a Christian be oppressed, attacked, etc.? Well, that's a different conversation. But in terms of sheer possession, I just don't see how it is possible theologically.
Okay. While we were talking about this, and I was discussing this topic with another student the other day, and he told me a scenario that he witnessed over the summer where several other students came under attack, and he said that he felt the presence of evil. He felt like there was something just off and wrong prior to this attack happening, and that the attack involved three students collapsing, another on the phone miles away speaking in tongues and vomiting, and I'm not really sure on the whole scenario, but there was he believes that there was a very strong attack happening at that moment. And
I mean, I'm hearing this is from students.
Yes.
That we know. I don't want to degrade their experience, but I would say this: if the devil can do that to Christians, why doesn't he do it all the time?
Yeah.
If he can make me do nothing but vomit and speak in tongues, why doesn't he do that every time I get up to preach? Or every time I you know, do anything Christ-like, why doesn't he do that to everybody? The other question, too, is, and I love Alistair Begg, the preacher, had this to say, is kind of paraphrasing, it's awfully arrogant of us sometimes to think that the devil is after us. Of all the people in the world, the devil has chosen us. And so I don't know what to do with that. And I kind of hesitate passing judgment on that, because for me to say otherwise would be accusing them of lying mm-hmm. at worst, or misunderstanding at best. And that's the problem, is those who believe in spiritual oppression have experienced it, and it's kind of hard to disprove experience, even though in my mind I'm not sure how or why that would happen.
There is a question concerning this that I probably would like on the podcast, just for Barclay okay. listeners.
Yeah.
So Lauren's been in Haviland now for about 6 years,
mm-hmm.
And during her tenure here, she said that there has been over 12 or 13, even up to 14, quote, possessions. And so that's about 2 a year on average,
mm-hmm.
That people say that there was possessions. And then my sister, who also went to Bible college, her 4 years there, she had about 12 as well. What is it about Bible colleges that attract people wanting that there to be demon possession almost?
It's expectation. You're away from home. You're lonely, you're sad, you're living with people, it's tough, classes are tough, you're tired, you're not eating well because no one's making you eat well, you're not sure about your future, there's debt, there's stress. So, you know, physically, psychologically, these things are linked to spiritual, but it's kind of a unity. And if you have a paradigm, or if your friend has a paradigm, like, oh, you're tired and you're crying, you must be under spiritual attack. Not because you're depressed or you're homesick or you're unhealthy. And so you filter through that paradigm. And then by listening, and if another person joins in, it gives sort of validity to this. And you can't be the one who says no unless you're secure enough. And as a freshman, you're never secure enough to say, this is not what's going on. Because you're going to be the unchristian one. Maybe you'll have the demon next. They'll decide you have the demon next and try to exorcise you. And so it just happens. That's just why, I think. They know they're following God's will, and they've never been allowed to express feelings of despair before to their parents, to the church, what have you. So here in a Christian context, they have no idea how to process those feelings.
Hmm. Now, if there was ever to be like somebody who was truly that you believe was demon possessed, mm-hmm. on campus, what would your standards be?
I would take them to the hospital, and if we can rule out all physical ailments and all psychological ailments, every single one, then I'd wait and see more. Because otherwise, what am I doing to them? What if they need help? Mm-hmm. And so God has given us medicine, has given us psychology, psychiatry. Let's rule out these things. And so it does a really good thing of discernment, meaning it rules out those who have been misled, who misunderstand. And if all of that, if there's still demon possession, I think it's going to be quite noticeable to both the medical staff and that. It's kind of like stigmata. Mm-hmm. With stigmata, there's no medical reason for these things to be happening. Mm. And thus, if it's still happening, we have something different going on.
Would you, if the hospital cleared them out and the psychological evaluation, would you take it on yourself or would you contact somebody else?
No, I don't know how to. That's the other thing that upsets me is, let's say the possession is real. First of all, who thinks Johnny 18-year-old is the person to give, to exorcise a demon? This is not child's play. And that's upsets me more, is the arrogance to put on this show in the first place. If it truly is a demon possession, and it truly is something, then there needs to be someone who is skilled in such things.
Just a little pushback on that. Like, what if they would tell you, like, well, isn't the power of Christ in me as well? What would you say to them?
Then I would say this, why is the demon there? And I would say that if the power of Christ is in you, why is the demon in that person? And we see throughout history the seven sons of Sceva, or Siva, this idea of if you approach spiritual warfare not knowing what you're doing, you're going to get beaten up. You're going to get beaten up. You're going to get hurt. And so, yeah, could they, theoretically, could they approach it? But you're taking my logic now. You're taking my position, which would say that the demon would be too weak to even be present there. So it's sort of we have to somehow pick a side on that, because either we're all powerful enough to exorcise this demon, meaning that demon probably isn't powerful enough to come in the first place, or we're not, or it's a different situation. And that's when I say, yeah, you need to have something different. Once again, let's look at the Catholic Church, who has done this for many hundreds of years. They look on it as a specialized position. Priest should not engage in this. A normal Catholic should not engage in this. I kind of look towards the example. I would love to think that any Christian could come up in the power of Christ, drive out a demon. I just take my theology further that there would be no demon there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say it's a non-Christian. That's a different situation. I mean, theoretically, you could go in, but I don't know what would happen. Mm. I don't know.
When I was in Ecuador, there's a missionary down there, and she said that there was this man in town who was demon-possessed, and a lot of the priests of the church there and a lot of the pastors of the church there was like, yeah, he is. Like, we aren't going to mess with him. And she walked over, and she said, put her hands on him, and she said right when she did that, her arm went limp. And she said, I was going to pray over him, but right when my hand touched him, my arm went limp. Would you say that that's arrogant to even attempt to do that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, even the disciples, I'm looking up the verse now, the disciples could not cast out a demon. Let's see, this is in Matthew 17. The disciples came to Jesus in private, and they said, we couldn't cast this one out. And I mean, so these are the people closest to Christ, with the authority of the living Christ, who are able to drive out, and even they could not drive out some. Even they could not drive out some. So we see right there that some Christians are not able to drive out all demons, And then, going back to Jesus' hometown, if they don't believe you can, if the person doesn't believe you can, maybe you won't. Jesus couldn't do any miracles, which I would assume to be exorcisms, if the people did not believe he could. So there's a lot of working forces at play there. So that's why I would hesitate. But once again, this situation is so rare as to merit a question of why we focus so much energy on it. I.e., it would be like if we spend all of our time practicing for a nuclear strike drills, you know, the flash, and we go under. And if we kept practicing that, when looking now, I mean, the idea of global thermonuclear war is such a rare event, both politically and kind of where we're at, that if we spent most of our day practicing for such things, you'd wonder why. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we give so much energy and effort to thinking through these scenarios that perhaps the devil is one right there, because we've spent so much energy talking about how to fight Satan instead of cursing the darkness, as Jesus would say, rather than them being the light.
Mm. That's what I think is interesting. Just like fighting Satan by expelling a demon is a lot more cooler than stopping your porn addiction, or fighting Satan through kicking out a demon is a lot more better, is a lot cooler than not lusting over this girl, or smoking weed, or any other sins, which actually do good.
Absolutely, but they don't get publicized. Being the kingdom, being Christ-like, letting your light shine, being the salt in the east, these things are slow processes that require daily sacrifice. Whereas, you know, exorcism is, it's very flashy.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap up. Derek, thank you for sitting in with us today. Corbin, you too. I'm hoping we can make this a regular thing. I don't know how, you know, I know you're a busy guy. Did you enjoy this?
I did. And, don't feel like you have to have me. I'm sure there are other professors who could sit in as well. But I really enjoyed this, especially just having these kind of conversations are just great.
Yeah.
And if we can record it, even better.
Absolutely. All right, so what we're going to end it here. Derek, thanks again. Corbin, thank you. And everybody listening, we hope to see you again.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word was God. And the Word was with God. In Him was life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word was God. All things were made through Him. In the beginning was the Word.